upon the cross, the people crying. Looking on, a man would think it a tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree. It would break the chains of sin's captivity. And rang up for men in misery. Sin died where the blood fell, and I'm so glad his precious blood has covered me. Thorns of violence and thorns of hate were growing wildly, and the sorrow that they had caused was plain to see. But when that blood came streaming down that cross, where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free. And love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope rang up for men in misery. Sin died where the blood fell, and I'm so glad his precious blood has covered me. It was the third day since he died, and it was said he would arise then from the grave. This Lamb came forth. Oh, I have to rejoice. He chose the place, he chose the hour, that he would rise by his own power, a sacrifice 3 days ago. and now praise God. The Lamb arose, there rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved to be my victory. To see him rise, but I was there when he saved my soul. For within my heart the Lamb arose, there rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am.
And you can win here.
must go.
Pastor Jason Cooley here, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And we are coming live here with a special broadcast here. We want to talk about the new hate crime speech laws in Canada and all over the world, really. And I have Pastor Jeffrey here. Brother, it's good to have you here.
Man.
And I'm glad that the Lord brought us together. In fact, I'm going to be going, Lord willing, here in May to see you and to preach at your church. And I'm looking forward to that, brother.
Yeah, likewise.
And now you have some interesting experiences that have happened. And one of the reasons why, and I'm going to expound on this a lot more later, but not in this broadcast. Our focus of our broadcast is going to really be the new hate speech laws and amendments that are being added. And you're going to explain a little bit, if you would, please. So I'll ask you some questions here. And then you can kind of explain to me and the listeners, because there's a lot of people about kind of what's going on here and just how like Canadian law works just a little bit, because I'm used to the Bill of Rights where it's pretty open and shut. Like, I mean, the cops still try to mess with that. But when I'm in the open air preaching and things like that, it doesn't really, you know, hate speech laws are not constitutional here. So we haven't had to really battle those like you would hear. So explain to me, how does Canadian law work? How does it work with the present situation? We'll start with that. Like, how does it work? Like, what protections do you have right now under your law to preach in the open air and freedom of speech stuff?
Well, currently right now, under the Charter of Rights, Charter 2 Rights, we do have freedom of religion. And our Charter 2B rights, freedom of expression, right now. Now, under the hate speech laws, and they're introducing Bill C-367, which will remove the religious protections from those hate speech laws. We do have hate speech laws under our Canadian Criminal Code, sections 318 through 320.
Okay, so let me stop you there for 1 second here and just kind of interject a little bit. And I don't want to interrupt you, but here's the thing. Okay, so what you're saying is years ago they passed hate speech laws.
That's correct.
Okay, but was there an exemption in those laws for freedom of expression of religion?
That's correct. That's correct. And now let me give you a little bit of a background here as well. It was exactly 2 years ago, they made amendments to the hate speech laws. We had Bill C-4 passed, which basically, I would not be allowed, just in a nutshell, would not be allowed to use, for instance, the Bible to convert someone who's going through gender transition therapy, conversion therapy. So they termed it using any kind of therapy, if you will, to try and
like coercion or in America,
exactly.
They call it, yep, conversion therapy is what they call it here. And what they say is, well, you can't. And I basically tell them to go pound sand. I don't care what they say. Yeah. But yeah.
Exactly. They'll do the same thing. Exactly. That passed, by the way. So say someone is really contemplating whether they want to go through this. They're really confused at this moment. And I, as a pastor, I'm called in and I said, well, this is what the Bible says, right? You know, the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you go through the Bible and then you convince them to not go through with it. And that's brought to the law enforcement. I can actually get charged.
Okay.
And if convicted, spend up to 5 years in prison.
Wow. So that
passed, I believe, in April of 2022.
So, in other words, you're pastoring, somebody calls you in and says, Pastor, my son or my daughter is confused right now. And could you please talk to them about this transgender issue. Could you please talk to them about what's going on? And you show them from the scriptures how they are fearfully, wonderfully made, how God loves them, and God made them in his image, and there's nothing wrong with them. And, you know, there's only two genders, male and female.
Yep.
You could be arrested for that and charged for that.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, that passed.
That passed.
So has that been... In America, where a law like that would have to go, it would be challenged in the courts. It would go to an appellate court. It would go all the way up the ladder. It would eventually go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would say, well, this is either constitutional or unconstitutional. What do you have?
We don't have that. First reading, second reading, it goes through a third reading. It has to pass through the Senate, which is unelected. And if it passes there, it's done.
You have no court that says that that's constitutional.
No, we do not have that. And wow. I'll read you Charter 1, and this explains the whole charter. So technically, we really don't have the protections you have.
Okay, so let's hold on 1 second. Let's back up. So we in America, we have the Bill of Rights. That's what we have, which is, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, right to keep and to bear arms, and others. So we have those aren't in America. Those are not given by the government. Those are recognized by the government. They recognize that these are God-given inalienable rights.
We don't have that.
Okay. What do you have?
Exactly. So this is literally something that is given from government. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
We don't have inalienable rights that you have.
Okay. Go ahead and read it.
Yes, it's the Charter of Rights and Freedom. This is number Charter 1. Guarantees the rights and freedoms set out in it, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. Right there. That is the groundwork for everything else. We don't have what you have.
Where did this charter come from?
It was signed by Pierre Trudeau in 1982.
Oh, you mean the present commies, commies daddy, Justin Trudeau?
His stepdad. That's...
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that story, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
we won't go into that. Absolutely. In other words, basically, that's where the charter came from.
Pretty much. He's the one who brought it forth in 1982. Signed by
and
the
his
queen.
Son is the one that's taking everything away.
His son is literally law by law. He's taking the press freedoms. Everything is controlled.
He's
here.
Deconstructing everything.
Everything. And you know what? It's under the noses of Canadians right now.
Because he's a little Marxist.
Absolutely. Don't play with that, please. Yeah.
He's a little Marxist.
He is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. So go ahead.
Yeah, go on. No. I don't want to cut you off. Yeah, with Bill C-367, which has been introduced right now, tabled in the House, that's going to remove the religious protections from the current hate speech laws. So I'll give you an instance from my street preaching on the streets. If I target certain groups like LGBTQ+, the sodomite community, or even the Muslims, which I have, what I've preached even against Muhammad, or what I've preached, say, even saying there are only two genders, and preach out the scriptures are no longer a defense. They're no longer a protection.
Okay.
That's where they're going with this.
So what's interesting to me is Canada is considered it's not part of the, is it part of the British Empire? Is it considered part of the British Empire? Because it says like the king oversees something to do with the law there. What is that about?
Yeah, I don't say the queen because she's dead, but no, she's the head of state.
Right, so he is. He's the head of state now.
I'm still in my head. I'm still...
Yeah. The head of the... So how come how come the Magna Carta, which is the oldest of English law, how come the Magna Carta has no protections for Canada? It's just an interesting, I mean, maybe you don't know the answer to that, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but how come the Magna Carta doesn't have any? Because the Magna Carta is like the oldest law, right, yeah. I mean, Anglo-Saxon law that there is, right? How come there's no, like, how come does that have anything to do with you guys or not really?
To be honest with you right now, I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that. But right
now, because I'm wondering, like, how come no one's challenged that and said, wait a minute, I thought we were under, like, if the king is the head of the state, right? If he is, then why then aren't we governed by the Magna Carta? Or why is it the overarching rule of law, the Magna Carta, then? Because when I'm over in England, I just got back from England, well, a year ago now, not just, but I got back from England and I'm preaching on the streets over there. And they have freedom of expression there. They can't really arrest citizens that easily there because of some of their protections. It's not as good as America.
It's the same thing here, but they're doing it. Do you understand?
Okay, so they're violating it. They're doing whatever they want.
They're violating exactly our Charter of Rights here.
Okay.
And I've appealed. And sometimes they back off and sometimes they don't.
Okay, so they passed hate speech amendments years ago. Then they passed one in 2022 that would do what?
Well, Bill C-4, exactly what I told you. It's specific to gender ideology. Someone that is going through the transition from one to another.
Okay, that was 2022. Now let's speed ahead here to now. What are they trying to put forth now?
They're removing the protections from the current hate speech laws. So we cannot, or the religious protections. So say, for instance, and it's pretty obvious here. If I preach at a drag queen story hour, which I will continue to do, if passed, that could be construed as hate speech, and I do not have religious protections. The Bible does not protect me. The use of the Bible.
Okay. Now, do you know of any time that these laws have been used against Muslims?
Never.
Where they're not allowed to speak like you?
Never. Right. Never.
What if the transgenders got up and they decided they were going to, like they do, and they preach against Christianity? They preach their ideologies against Christianity because they do it all the time.
They do, absolutely.
So they have protection. The law is not, it doesn't affect them.
It doesn't. It's removing religious protections. The whole idea and the way they couch it is, right, it's really to protect against anti-Semitism, if you will, against the Jews. But in reality, we know where it's going with it.
The other day, I watched a video, and I'll have Andrew put this in this video. He'll add it. But I watched a video the other day that you sent me of Rebel News, of a reporter that was... He was trying to get a comment from a Hamas guy, from some Hamas defenders, right? And he's standing up there and he's asking the Hamas defender, who the Hamas guys were hating on the Jews. That's what they were doing. That's what they do anyway, right? So they were hating on the Jews. This man goes up and tries to ask him questions, and he gets arrested. The reporter gets arrested in the King's Highway. Right?
Exactly.
He gets arrested. So no, it has nothing. They're allowed to they are anti-Semitic.
Exactly.
The Hamas guys were. The Muslim guys were. They were anti-Semitic.
Exactly.
Excuse me, we're trying to put him behind the...
Hey, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Stop.
Hey.
Stop.
Hey.
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 That's my wallet. You're under arrest. Fucking police.
There we go.
What is this?
I've asked you for identification numerous times. You failed to identify yourself. That's just fucking police.
Efren, can you grab my stuff?
We'll get it, sir. Don't worry. Nobody will touch it. We'll get your identification for you.
So it's not real.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, it hasn't passed yet, this particular law. It's right now being tabled.
Right.
Let me read just to give your viewers maybe an idea. And some of them already do have an idea. I do know that. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has passed numerous pieces of legislation prohibiting free speech in Canada, yet nothing has been as restrictive as Bill C-367, an amendment to the criminal code that will prohibit Canadians from expressing, quote, an opinion based on a belief in a religious text. If passed, people can be arrested for quoting the Bible on Canadian soil. Proponents are cloaking this attack on religion under the premise that it will curtail anti-Semitism. Yet months ago, Justin Trudeau stood with Zelensky and the Canadian Parliament celebrating a known Nazi war criminal and even giving him a standing ovation.
Right, because he's a little commie too.
Yeah, well, he's also a Nazi.
Yeah, he's a fascist. They're fascist communists. They don't care. Exactly. They play whatever. Exactly.
Right. His deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland, and I believe she's running the show behind the scenes there.
Well, because he's such a beta.
Well, he's beyond beta, really. I mean, yeah. That's almost the fence of the beta.
Yeah,
male.
No, sure.
No, but her grandfather, Michael Chomiak, was the editor, the chief editor of a Nazi publication. Did you know that?
You can't make this up.
You can't make this up, buddy. You can't make it up. So this is basically the protections here. So three, no person shall be convicted of an offense under subsection 2 if he establishes the statements communicate were true. And this is where the change is going to be. If, in good faith, the person expressed or attempted to establish by an argument an opinion on a religious subject or an opinion based on a belief in a religious text, they're going to remove that, right?
So they remove the basically protections of the scriptures because it's all about the Bible. It's not about the Quran.
Exactly.
They don't care. Yeah. They let them do whatever they want. They just arrested the reporter right on the street for interviewing him, illegally arrested this man under Canadian law. It was illegal.
Exactly. So that's what they're doing.
It's about the Bible. It's about you. It's about you preachers that are preaching the word of God in the open air over there, and about you preaching from your pulpits, and about you guiding people into the, I mean, how soon before they come into the churches over in Canada and tell you guys you can't say certain things?
The thing is, this is what I foresee happening, right? A lot of these Baptist preachers, they're not taking a stand outside. A lot of them have this mentality, well, you know, it's gone too far. And I've learned from personal experience being out in the streets that the overall mentality is, you know what, keep it within the four walls of your church. And you know what? You're going to keep it within the four walls of your church house, and then they're going to come after you then.
Yeah, see, they think they're protected and they have protections in the four walls. They have no protection. Your greatest protection is for you to trust God Almighty, get out in that street, tract, preach, and get the truth out there and stand against this wickedness.
Right, that's right.
Like I'm the only way. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I'm all for standing. Like that's one of like I'm all for standing for righteousness in this nation. If you know what I'm saying,
yes.
Getting out there and taking a stand against these things, not politically. I'm not a political person. I'm not into that.
No,
I want to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness and be out there and reproving it. I don't see Baptist preachers doing that.
I agree with you 100%.
It's fine preaching to the choir of church. It's fine preaching to the choir of your church. They're on your side. Right. I need to be out.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why even before I didn't quite understand why I had this draw to go to Canada this year. But I talked about it like months ago before I even talked to you, I think, you know, before I met you and I said, you know what? I kind of want to go to Canada. Now, what I envisioned of me going to Canada for is way different than what God has me doing. I didn't foresee the relationship and the bond that God would bring us together and solidify that with me. And then, And then I tell Andrew, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go to Canada this year. I'm going to do a little something different with my family. I went to Europe last year. I'm going to take my family. I'm going to drive into Canada. I'm going to, you know, have some time there and do so. And we're going to do that too with all of you. But, you know, I'm just going to do that. And then you get arrested.
Yeah.
Right. And God just began to show me. Go ahead.
I want
to. No, go ahead. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
It was twice, two arrests. Don't forget that.
Yes.
One charge, that's right. Two arrests.
Yep. That's right.
It's also Halloween on church where they just arrested us and then let us. They moved us out of the area.
Yeah.
And then let us go.
Right. So you've been arrested twice. So what that did to me, the second time that happened was really a major one for when I heard about it. And I'm like, okay. And then I forget what else it was. Something with Liberty. Oh, I know. We were at the Halloween event at Anoka. And see, they couldn't take us to jail that easy. It's not that easy to... It's not that easy to shut us up here. I mean, they could do it. They do it to men. They've done it here. Absolutely. But it's not that easy. The reason why it's not that easy is what we're going to talk about. Not on this broadcast, but later on in the documentary, we'll talk about that later on. But because of the Baptist, I call it the Baptist Bill of Rights, that they can't do that as easy here. But that, when I heard that, and then we were detained. One of our men were detained. I was like, okay. And then you got arrested and you were in jail for, was it 24 hours or 48 hours?
It was 24 hours, just over 24 hours.
Just over 24 hours. And you were in jail. I was like, and we're not going to get into the specifics of that right now. We'll save that for another time. But you were in jail and God began to show me. Yeah. And then he put the pieces together of just why I need to go to Canada this year. Why that needs to, you know, not only to be an encouragement to you and to your church, but also we gotta be used of the Lord to wake some people up, some pastors. I'm talking about pastors and other people in there. You get to churches and you start supporting people that are standing for the faith. If you're out there in YouTube land and Rumble and all those, you get and support a church that's serving the Lord and stand. We need some men and some women. We need men to stand up and preach the word of God and to get out there and encourage their pastors and get into churches. And that's one of the reasons why I believe the Lord, one of the main reasons why, you know, that the Lord wants me to come to Canada. And also after we put this documentary together to show pastors in America, what are you doing? Like, you have these liberties.
Right.
You're not going to get arrested for just preaching the Bible like that. Your Baptist forefathers fought those fights already and won by the grace of God.
Yeah.
So why aren't you out there doing this now before? Because, brother, here's the problem. In Canada, what happened is they stopped expressing what they believe, those pastors. They quit doing it.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead and tell me about that. How many pastors do you know that are out there in the trenches like you are?
I actually don't know any. I know a few Ruckmanite preachers.
Yes.
But they're not. It's your typical, and they're up there, Markham and Lawrence, holding up signs.
Right.
That's about it.
But they're not preaching loud.
You know, they're not over the drag queen events in Durham region. They're not over all these events, the pagan prides or any of those, getting right in there. And if you don't mind me sharing this with the Hamilton Pagan Pride event.
Please do.
I've shared with you before. The Lord actually used someone to tell, to actually direct me in that direction. I didn't know about these pagan pride events. By the way, don't confuse pagan pride with LGBTQ+ pride.
Okay.
Although there is a connection. This is literally hardcore occultism, paganism. And they booked a Gage Park in Hamilton back in early September of last year. And so I said, gentlemen, we're going out there. We're going to tackle this. And, you know, I had something prepared out of Deuteronomy, a few verses and that. And I started preaching and it riled them up. In fact, one of them, a witch, because they did a write-up on me in one of their magazines. And then I obviously I looked at their Facebook group to see what they're saying about this.
Oh, because yeah.
They were really stirred up. Your ministry, your preaching ministry is called No Small Stir. Well, that was no small stir. They were stirred up. They called the police. You had about six cruisers fly over, all for preaching. Mm-hmm. And they had one of their shows or whatever. So I wanted to see what they had to say. Because I recognized one of the women on there. And basically she said, I got her goat. And she said she had not experienced this, anything like this, since the late 90s.
Late 90s.
They thought they had done away with these kind of preachers, these fundamentalists, preachers, hate preachers. That's what they call me, a fundamentalist hate preacher.
Right. Yeah, they know it well.
And I know a number of independent Baptist churches in that region. Now, I'm not, I don't associate, I just want to tell you your views on, as an independent, or I don't associate as an independent Baptist. That's why we have unaffiliated mm-hmm. attached to it. I'm not affiliated with any of these. None of them there. None right. of them. None of them confronting this. That told me it was God's will. Then we went with it. Then we tackled a couple of weeks later the Toronto Pagan Pride. Same thing. The police were called, by the way, and I appealed to the charter, and then they left us alone.
But see, so now they're trying to do away with these charter rights, so you can't yeah. say anything at all. And you can't say anything that's going to offend them, because if you do, then they are going to be able to cry out hate speech. And then you're just shut down, basically.
Pretty much.
And if you don't leave, we're going to arrest you.
Yeah. And I have been threatened on a number of occasions last year to be arrested for hate speech and hate propaganda.
Now, you know, over here in America, well, I was at St. Paul. I was up at the, we were preaching outside of the state fair. And I have it on video. Actually, and two of the police officers came up to me and they said, you know, you can be here and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, in my mind, when somebody tells me, after I reflect out a little bit, that is maybe not right in the moment. But first of all, I have made it clear to them before. Well, first of all, you don't give me permission to be anywhere.
Right.
I mean, right. I and I'm not being a jerk either. It's just true. Like the Constitution recognizes the inalienable rights that are given by God for a man to speak in public. You don't give me the right. You don't give me the right to be anywhere. I stood up to a cop years ago when I was down at another fair. I was outside of it. And he goes, well, there's a place for you to protest down there. There's a place for you to protest. You ought to see it. That video made Alex Jones. It was so crazy. There's a place for you to protest down there. There's a place for you to protest down there. He was like a broken record. It was like he was like an absolute broken record.
That happens all the time here.
What's that?
That happens all the time here.
Yep.
Now, we had last year over Queen and John. I was basically preaching, but we were actually preaching. Toward it was right in front of a Waffle House. They were selling phallic shaped waffles. I preached against it. It's since closed down.
Goodness.
They called police. We had a crowd of about on the court, right other section, around 300 people. They called literally the police. Nine SUV cruisers were flying down, just preaching the gospel, just preaching. Nine.
Wow.
We had about 50 cops at that intersection. I should send you the video. It's right. It's still up online. I should send you that video. But
yeah, you should, because we'll just add it into this. We'll show everybody.
And what they always tell us, well, why don't you go to Young and Dundas? Why don't you go over here? They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. These people don't want to hear you. They don't want to hear it.
So yeah,
we're not here. Whether they want to hear, we're here because they want to hear it or not. We're here because they need to hear it.
Yeah, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, right? That's
so they're always telling go somewhere else or turn it off. I know the ordinances here. I know the bylaw 591, and they'll lie to you. They have lied to you. They obviously bank on your ignorance that you don't know it. I said no, we'll turn it down. We'll turn it down, but I'm not turning it off.
Right, and they do the same thing to us here. Except the only difference is. is the protections that we do still have, so they're not able to execute them. Because like with that guy, I stood my ground and that sheriff left. He walked away, and I put the video online and it got like 300,000 views because I was like, I want to show people. I had a banker do it to me on the streets of Northfield. He goes, get off my sidewalk. And I was like, and I gave him a lesson to the First Amendment. I was like, this isn't your sidewalk. You don't own this. You know, he goes, well, I have to shovel it. I said, I don't care. You don't own it.
That's right.
So,
yep, it's
that,
public.
That's right. So, basically what this is going to do is shut you. If they pass this, and they're tabling it for now, but if they pass this, then they're going to be able to shut up all open air preachers in Canada. And
it's not just, it's not just the open air preachers. You've got the On Harms Act with C-60. And that's dealing with internet hate speech. So it's even posting it. So this is where it's going. They're tackling it from every avenue. So
right.
It's not just the open air.
It's the beast system then.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Every avenue that they can go after.
That's right. They've got the media avenue with Bill C-10, C-11, C-18. I don't know the details of every one of these. The Online Harms Act, C-63. And that will effectively even shut down preaching online, if you right.
So
that's, you know.
Right. So if you were broadcasting your, in other words, the Harms Act, if you're broadcasting your sermon from your church in Canada there, and you're broadcasting your sermon and you preach against sodomites, you preach against LGBTQ, you preach against the transgender movement, you preach against Islam, you preach against these things, they could literally shut you down.
Yeah. Now, how quickly they'll implement it, it might be a process, but absolutely. Like even with Bill C-367, I don't see it going like right in full force, but I do see like a shift over in that direction, if you will, until it is.
Okay, so I'm curious, because I don't understand a lot of political life in Canada. So let me ask you this question here. Like, is there any politicians or anybody out there that's actually standing up to this? Or are they all just in agreement with this and they're accepting it and they don't have a loud voice? They won't speak again. Like, they won't look at that little Trudeau and tell him he's a little Nazi and just look at him and tell him that he's a little feminine wimp and all that good stuff.
We have men, but the thing is, here both sides are controlled, if you know what I'm saying. And
right, they are here voices, too.
Yeah, and those actual dissenting voices are really not a voice, if you know what I'm saying. So we do have dissenting voices. We do have groups on the sidelines, but they're really not penetrating anything, really.
Okay, so there isn't really, you don't have, like in America, we'll have like Trump, or we'll have like Rand Paul, or we'll have like senators that will stand up and they'll be like, no, or we'll have House representative that at least fake like they're going to do something. And generally they hold most of the time.
We do have that, but I mean, it's, you know, I don't put a lot of stock into it. And like Randy Hillier and, you know, Bernier. But they really don't have a lot of sway, really.
Okay, so how does this prime minister, if Canadians are seeing themselves losing their rights, if Canadians are, how long is your prime minister in office and how does that work? Like, can they vote him out, or is it much like America where, like, how does it work there?
Well, we can vote him out, obviously, right? He's been in since 2015. We've had a number of elections where he's gotten in every time.
Is it every 4 years like it is in America?
Yeah, approximately. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about 4 or 5 years sometimes.
But
yeah.
nobody votes him out. They keep voting for, like, they don't realize that this guy is like sinking everything. Like, well, they don't.
See, the thing is, the political system in Canada is like different, right? Because you don't vote. I don't vote for a prime minister. I vote for a party. So like, it's like you've got writings, right? And they're, you know, I can't remember how many writings now are in the federal part, but so it's like, it's like a little bit of a region. So say in Ontario, Toronto, for instance, like 30 writings. I would vote hypothetically, if I'm a Liberal, which is, you know, Liberal Party, not Prime Minister Trudeau, he would run in his riding. He would actually have to be elected in his riding. I don't technically elect a prime minister.
That's horrible.
No, it's absolutely horrible. It's nothing like what you have there.
And ours is corrupt, is all get out. Ours is rich.
It is. So just take ours, and it's that much worse. So nobody technically elects a prime minister, right? The leader of the party is elected from within. And if you are a member of the Conservative Party or the Liberal Party, you can vote your leader, who runs in the next federal election. He will be elected the prime minister. But the only people that elect him technically in an election are those of his riding. I elect someone into office for my riding. So it would be, if it was like a Liberal, then of course, obviously a majority government is formed based on the majority of candidates. One their riding, if you will, right?
Okay, so it's very similar to what happens in like England and places like that.
It's exactly that system. Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So if you understand the British system, you'll understand the Canadian system.
Yeah, I heard stuff about that. Like, they have to have enough people to form a party in order to do this and that. And they have to to go through.
Exactly. Don't ask me the numbers and exactly.
No, that's okay. I won't. I don't know. I've just watched and listened to some of these people talk. And they talk about, well, hopefully he did win, but we have to make sure we can form a party and all this other stuff.
We have nothing like the Electoral College, right? Like, that kind of pushes everything out. We don't have that. So, for instance, Ontario in our region is highly populated. It's got the most ridings. So, say, for instance, hypothetically. Now, you know, I'm not a political guy. I right. believe both sides. So that's my view. So, I'm not. It doesn't matter if you vote conservative or NDP, basically, whatever, right? Both ends of the spectrum. Liberals and NDP are pretty much the same thing now.
Yep.
You go out west, and they're primarily, they vote conservative. Yet, it's only been a Liberal government that's gotten in. You understand what I'm getting at here?
So yep.
Each riding, the majority of the ridings are in Ontario and, of course, and Quebec.
Wow. So basically, without an electoral college.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think ours are rigged, too. It's just, it makes it a little more difficult for them to push things as fast as they do on other nations because of that Baptist Bill of Rights. There are a lot of things that hinder them from. And eventually, we know the beast system is going to fully take over everything. And we know that's going to happen. So regardless of what system, this one here slows it down a bit and doesn't allow them to like completely, you know, take over and shut us down and shut us up, you know, partly because of the First Amendment, but also the Second Amendment, because if you don't have, you know, a Second Amendment, you can't enforce the First Amendment. So that's the right to keep and to bear arms.
We don't have that here.
Right.
We don't have. I mean, you've seen now with what our Metro Police are suggesting. You know, we've had a wave of people breaking into homes and stealing cars. And their suggestion is leave your fob right at the front door. So that's what one. You know, what's government's purpose really, right? From a biblical perspective, right? To protect your persons, your prerogative, and your property.
Right. And see, what they're trying to do, though, is they're trying to feminize men so much and make them weaker and push them down and make them like effeminate little victims. And that's what they want to do.
Yep.
You know, we don't believe in killing and violence and everything else like that. But, you know, when we look at what's going on today, they're pushing these Marxists to do everything that they're doing. See, at the head of every fascist, at the head of every group of Marxists is a fascist. It's just the way it is.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Both ends of the same beast, really.
Right. Okay. So So we have these charter, these amendments that they want to pass in order to do that. You've been directly affected by these hate speech laws, and you've been directly affected. Without getting into specifics, you've been arrested a few times, and you have current litigation going on in the court system right now, so we're not going to talk too much about that. But you've directly been shut down. Can you just tell us what they accused you of and why they shut you down from preaching? You don't have to get into anything else, but what they said, their words, what they said, what their charges were against you.
Well, I've been charged under Section 176(2), and I have it right here, of the Canadian Criminal Code. Now, that's not what I was arrested for.
Okay,
but this is what they. But this I can review. I can share with you. It's basically this is what it says, and it's very rarely, according to from what I've been told, they very rarely charge anyone. It's really kind of ironic. And this is basically disturbing Section 176(2) of the Canada Criminal Code. It's entitled Disturbing Religious Worship or Certain Meetings. Keep in mind, this was at the Satan Claus Parade.
At the Santa Claus Parade, got charged with disturbing a religious. Hey, I've always said Santa has his own religion.
Exactly. Everyone who willfully disturbs or interrupts an assemblage of persons, which is this is not, by the way, meant for religious worship or for a moral, social, or benevolent purpose is guilty of an offense punishable on summary conviction. That's what I've been charged for. That's what's going through right now.
So you're preaching the gospel on the streets, and right. You were charged with disturbing the peace, basically. Is that what it is?
Well, there is another law causing a disturbance.
Is that
that's what they want? That'd be Section 175, causing a disturbance. It is disturbing the peace.
Okay, that's what they have in America.
This is very specific. Well, yeah, here it's called this cause disturbance, Section 175(1).
So disturbing the peace of a religious ceremony is what you were charged, or disturbing a religious ceremony.
Exactly. Interrupts. It's basically willfully disturbs or interrupts an assemblage of persons. Really, this was designed for church service. That's what it is. Somebody can't come in and just disrupt it.
Right.
They can actually get. This is nothing to do with being out in the public and preaching in the parade. Really.
Right. So they arrested you and you spent 24 hours or so, a little over 24 hours in jail, released you, and basically you're awaiting trial for all these charges.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So you've been directly affected by laws against freedom of speech.
I have. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. On more than one occasion.
And, without getting into detail, I'm not allowed to use amplification when I'm out there. So we'll leave it at that, but I'm not allowed to. So that's why.
Right. So your speech rights are being hindered because they don't like the message that you gave.
I believe so. Absolutely. And they can only be.
Right. Because, I was looking at that video of, those Muslims in the streets when that reporter came up to them, and they were like a very loud, controlling mob.
They are like that. They're absolutely.
But they
like
don't.
That.
Why don't they get arrested?
Yeah. Why don't they get arrested? They were outside protesting inside the Eaton Center, literally threatening people, and nothing happened.
Who were they threatening?
They're people. They're in front of the Zara store there.
What's
and
that? I don't know what that
they
is.
Were threatening. It's a gay clothing store.
Okay.
No, it's a store in the it was one of the stores in the Eaton Center. It's going back a few months, and they're actually these Hamas or whatever you want to call them protesters were literally like threatening people, and nothing was done. The police were there, but did nothing. A few months ago, they were blocking off they're on the bridge there of Avenue Road off the 401. Basically, Avenue Road takes you right into a Jewish community.
Okay.
So they blocked off the entrance. So nobody can enter into that. You'd have to take the long round. The police, instead of removing them, were bringing them Tim Hortons coffee.
Was this that is something
organized.
So, in other words, basically, yep, they have protections under they have no protection of the law to block highways and to do what they're doing, but they're allowing do that.
Exactly. Yep.
What defense do they give for the reason the police are allowing them to do that? Do they give any defense to that?
As far as I know, they've given no defense for it. They're just allowing it. No one's saying anything.
So, but when a Christian preacher stands up, when a Baptist preacher stands up and preaches the gospel in the open air, they arrest him for that, but they don't for interrupting a religious assembly or whatever. When
is under the pretext of being a danger to public safety.
Preaching.
Yeah.
All they were was words.
Yeah. Like I'm a danger to public safety. That's
so really, you weren't like blocking off intersections and not letting people go into neighborhoods. Exactly. You're just standing on the street corner preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling all men everywhere to repentance, preaching the law, schoolmaster, to bring men to Christ, show them their sin before God.
That's right.
And to name those sins as God has named them in the scriptures.
Exactly. And be very specific. And that's my style of preaching. I'm very specific. Amen.
Okay. So basically what we're seeing is this is an attack on Christianity.
It is.
It's an attack on biblical Christianity. That's all it's about. These laws are only about shutting up the gospel. They want to shut up any remnant of Baptist, Protestant, Anglo-Saxon faith in all of these.
You've nailed it. Yep.
All of these countries. They're doing the same thing over in England. Scotland. Yep. I talked to Brother Ross Duncan over, and he said on a broadcast that I was on the other day, he said April 1st, April Fool's Day, go figure. They are passing hate speech crime laws in Scotland.
Ooh, yep.
And so here you have it. We know that these nations, we're not saying they're Christian nations. What we're saying is a lot of them were founded upon some Christian principles of religion and of Christ and of truth, right? So it's in there, and they're trying to erase every bit of Christ in anything, in the Bible, in anything that is there in the heritage of those people in those countries.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And I'll add, and I don't want to get into this too much, but they're also doing it with immigration.
Yes.
Country here.
Yep, they're doing a forced amalgamation through everything. They're artificially forcing people in to certain areas to erase their distinctives, their religious distinctives, their Bible distinctives that those people culturally have held to in those areas, and they're exactly. fundamentally filling them with paganism and heathenism.
Yep.
So that's why you have heathen festivals in pagan. What do you call it? What do you call those festivals? Like that you preach outside of?
The Pagan Pride Festivals. Hamilton Pagan Pride and Toronto Pagan Pride.
And they seem to be big in Canada. Was there a lot of people there when you went there to preach?
Oh, there was quite a lot of, there's quite a few people there. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing to me.
Age Park is a big park.
Okay. So we see the goal, right? We see what they're doing. And we've got to pray against it, but we also got to expose it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And people need to know about this. So, you know, we're going to put this on. Is there anything else you want to say about any of those amendments and laws and your experience with them and all those things? Is there anything else you want to say about that from your perspective?
Basically, I've given you what it's pretty much black and white. It will be an attack on Christianity, biblical Christianity. And
further attack, right?
further attack, really. If there's only thing I would admonish is Baptist preachers to get out there. Get out there. And I'm not even against even writing politicians in that.
Right.
But get out there. Get out there.
Right.
You know, I really, you know, and I've mentioned it to you before, you know, it'd make a big difference if you got even a few like-minded churches. We get together and we go down to like the trans rally or something like that during that time. Even the drag queen hour, they're not gonna do what they're doing. They're not gonna get away with what they're getting away with. They're not gonna arrest you when you have a whole army of preachers down there.
No, that are peacefully standing there preaching.
Exactly.
We don't have amen. That. Well, you know, brother, you would think it'd be a lot different here, too, but it really isn't because, see, when we go and we stand outside of these pride events, there are no other churches there. There are no other churches anywhere near. I'm just south of the Twin Cities, and there are hundreds upon hundreds of churches. And I know Baptist pastors all over, and not one of them will stand out in front of those events and preach the gospel.
It's all about their image. They want that polished, pristine image, and they don't want to be frowned upon amongst their peers. Oh, look what he's doing. Because it's very uncouth, right? When you're out there, you're uncouth. It's raw. They don't want that. They don't want that.
Yep.
Plus, I think there may be a fear of man attached to that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, see, you know as well as I do, one of the things that you and I have experienced, you know that when you and I, when we go out on the streets, that we're challenged.
Yeah.
Biblically absolutely. By people. You know, absolutely. That they ask you questions that you have to have answers for.
And and you become more seasoned as you're challenged.
Exactly. Right? And it looks and good when you don't have to be challenged and you just stand up in your church and you're never challenged.
And the other side of it is, when you're out in the streets, I know here, you're going to have to deal with the police. And a lot of preachers don't like that.
No, they don't.
They're like, okay, they're going to hide behind Romans 13 and miss interpretation or misapplication of it.
Right.
But they don't want that.
Yeah, I saw years ago, somebody told me that another brother told me that, he said, yeah, David Gibbs of the Christian Law Association. He said, David Gibbs told them, he said, well, he called David Gibbs the Christian lawyer, right? And he said, hey, we're going to be preaching outside of the Pride event. He goes, if you have any trouble and the cops come, just leave. Just leave. Don't stick around. Just leave. And I'm like, what a pansy. Really? Just leave? Just walk away. Well, he's the same man that talked churches into becoming 501c3 corporations and creatures of the state. He got paid money to do that all the way through America, and he's gotten rich doing it. So he's doing all right with that Christian Law Association, you know. But this is what they think. You must be wrong if you get arrested. You must be wrong if you're a preacher and you get arrested for preaching. Why?
Why don't they read their Baptist history?
Amen. Right, because they don't know it.
Exactly. Those guys were preaching from the cell behind the bars there.
Amen. Amen. That's part of what we're going to talk about in that documentary too.
I mean, they're like literally what's happening to us right now here, or even to me. And I'm not thinking myself as some big. No, it's just no. It's what they might. It's what the Baptists did a couple hundred years ago, and so on and so forth. No different. Amen. You just stand for the truth. You preach the truth. Stand for it. Are they going to take away your truth? No. My truth is given. It's given to me from God. The Bible's given to me from God. Amen. You can pass whatever laws you want to pass. I'm still going to preach it.
Amen. Amen. And that's here's the thing about that, too, with this. You know, when we talk about this, God used those men as they stood firm in the faith.
Amen.
You know, God used them. And in America here, we are blessed by what those 40 imprisoned Baptist pastors of Virginia went through. You know, and these guys today, these modern day sissy effeminate preachers that are out there, and their lawyers that don't want to stand up to things. And I, you know, I'm not trying to be too negative of that and be too harsh on pastors, but let's be real here. Okay. We are in a war, and I mean spiritually. I don't mean physically. I'm talking spiritual warfare. And if we don't gird up the loins of our mind and we don't stand firm in the faith and we don't stand up and preach the word of God, we are going to be in more trouble.
That's right.
Than we could ever imagine.
I'm going to take it away from you.
Yep. You got to express it. You got to get out there, and you have to hold their proverbial feet to the fire. The law enforcement, when they do wrong, you have to hold them accountable for what they do wrong through the court system.
Right.
We have to. Because if we don't, we'll make it harder for the next generation.
Yep. Amen. Agreed. Amen.
So we'll be talking again, brother, and about these things in the future. And once all of your case situations are ironed out,
please pray for that, because really for it to go through speedily, if you will, and for them not to break the heels. I really would like to get this finalized and done and behind me, if you will.
Amen. We will certainly pray for that, that God would press this forward, but that also that God would use this as an example for others. Because I intend to use your experience and I intend to use what you've been through for the glory of God. I intend to show people and American pastors and those all over Canada and all over the world that you better stand up and preach the gospel. You better get out there and do that, and you better not fold for what's going on in this world today. We're going to use it, brother, to encourage some men to stand.
And praise the Lord. Yep.
That's needed, brother. That's needed. Yeah. Well, it was good to talk to you about this, brother Jeffrey. Yeah. We'll be talking soon in the future about some other things, and I look forward to seeing you in Canada here. Well, I guess it's going to be what?
Really excited. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited too, brother.
Exactly 2 months right now, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. It's just a little less than that. Before you know it, I'll be looking you right in your eye, and you know, you'll have to see my ugly mug right in front of your face, brother.
Yeah, you'll see my ugly mug. Yeah.
I'll see my reflection in your head. That's what.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, brother. Well, it's good to have you on here. We'll talk further about this. And there you go. There it is. I saw myself in there. We'll talk more in the future, though, about these things. And I can't wait to really – there's some other things we're going to talk about when I come to Canada. We're going to talk about your experience being a saved Jewish man and what the Lord has done and your family and everything like that, and your father and your mother and the testimonies that are there. We're going to talk about all those things, too. I look forward to really sharing that with the folks. But listen, Pastor Jeffrey is in Toronto, right outside of Toronto, Canada. Can you tell me exactly where that is, brother, where you all meet?
We're in the east end of Toronto where we meet, in Scarborough.
Okay.
So we meet in Scarborough.
And it is Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Is that correct?
Yep. So gracembc.org, you can find us there.
Okay. And do you have a Rumble channel also?
Yeah. GMBC online, pretty much similar like to yours, except it's one. No, you two, it's separate. GMBC and then online.
Okay.
I took your advice, and we're on sermon audio as well.
Okay, good. And is it just under Grace Missionary Baptist Church on sermon audio?
Yes, Grace Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay, good. And then you do have a YouTube channel when it doesn't get kicked off, right? You have one of those too?
Yeah, I do. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, GMBC. Good. Same as the Rumble, right?
Same as the Rumble. I think Rumble, it's one, GMBC online, just all together. But
okay, we'll put your contact information on there as well. So people, if you have a church, by the way, I'm going to be there in May. May 16th or 17th is when I get there, I think it is. And we'll be there for, what is it, 5 or 6 days, 5 or 6 nights. And you know, there's going to be some service times. So you contact either myself, Pastor Cooley at iCloud.com, or Pastor Jeffrey, if you want to attend the services. We'll be preaching. I'll be preaching. Did you say 3 times, brother? I think it was, or something like that.
So yeah, the plan would be three times on Sunday, and then a Tuesday night service. We have to move.
Yep.
Because we're a facility. So, yeah, for this.
And then you and I, we're going to go out, and Brother Andrew and some of your men, and we're going to go out preaching on the streets also.
Yep. And we'll discuss that.
Amen. We won't give specifics on that right now.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
Amen. Yeah, amen. I am too. I am too, brother. All right. Well, God bless you, Pastor Jeffrey. I appreciate you. Okay. Save my soul. Yep.
Great I am.